Essence a few minutes to, Lord, when we talk to each one of our heart, oh God, we are a people that is in need. We commit us unto thee, oh God, especially our dear ones, those who are not here with various reasons, those who are at home and those who are not feeling well. Commit all of them unto thee, oh God, that may give them a portion of the blessings to them also. We thank you for every good things we enjoy from above, oh Lord. Forgive our sins and shortcomings and bless us, we pray. We ask all this in giving you thanks in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. As we have this mid-week meeting as a prayer meeting and our board presented that a time of prayer, I just want to together look a few scripture about prayer. If you would turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16, Apostle Paul reminds, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Making mention of you in my prayers. As we heard from our brother Fleming on the Sunday, being transformed, that every Sunday, week after week, we are so blessed with the messages that for the week that we go out, we come back again. To me, this is like a coming back and recharging, a midweek. We come back into the presence of God as together as an assembly, we recharge, go back again as we go back to the world. Paul here, writing to the Ephesians, that giving thanks to making mention of you in my prayers, and may give you spirit of wisdom, revelation into the knowledge of him. Every Christian, that's what we need, spirit of wisdom and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ that we see around us today. That's what is lacking. Believers, non-believers, co-workers, we see that spirit of wisdom. Wisdom is lacking. Knowledge of God is lacking. That's why we hear the words that are coming out sometimes. It's hard to stand around because the spirit of wisdom lacking there. The knowledge of him, of God, is lacking around. But that's what Paul's prayer for the believers in Ephesians. We know prayer is it's a communication with God. We communicate to God. From start to finish, when we read the scripture from the Bible, we see that the Bible tells the story of God's pursuit of an intimate relation with humankind. A healthy, constant communication is essential to building up a relationship. That's what we see from day one, Adam onwards. God, how much God has desired to have that relation. Where man failed, God come back again. God came himself into this world. What that bridge that was broken, God has prepared. That's why we could come into his presence this evening and call him Abba, Father. We have a relation to God. We can ask to God. We can pray. We can listen to him because we have a relation with God. God has made we have that. The more honest we are, the sincere communication. It's together even in everyday life that the more honest the communication will build between. And then we have a greater trust. This evening when we come, are we honest to God? Are we open to God to communicate? That's where we build the trust with God. And also the prayer is a time, is an opportunity to listen to God. My wife always reminds me, after we pray, listen, sit and listen to God. So oftentimes we pray and rush and go to work or do things that we pray and listen. That's where God communicates to us. Probably not audibly. Probably God opened doors. God closes doors. God allow or provide. That's how God communicates to us when we ask to God. And in the book of Jeremiah, we know that portion. We see God's intention to bring blessings to Israel's future. If you want to turn, it's in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10. We know the people of Israel, they were exiled in Babylon for 70 years, right? But verse 10 of chapter 29 of Jeremiah read, "For thus saith the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you, and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive." Look at it. God has planned everything. God knew everything. God caused everything here. All those happened, God planned and purposed and done it. Still, God's desire is, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me and I will listen to you. It's the same God we have today. It's the same what God expects us to God. We ask to God, we pray to God. And he says, and I will listen to you. It's not like the idols, people go and pray and nothing happens. We have a God who listens to us. We have a God who answers to us. And I will bring you the peace. And I have caused you to be carried away captive. Can you believe that? Everything happens in our life. Sometimes we stop and think, how did this happen? How did the God allow this to happen? But God, it's all God's in wisdom. God planned and God allowed it. God brings a way to help us to get out of that. What an encouragement for all who seek the Lord, that sometimes without apparent success we may reach out to God, may not see the success, but God is always there and he is always available. And he's longing that all men may look to him and live. His nail-pierced arms are open wide to all. Anyone who turns to him, he is there. He will listen. He will answer. Again, in the same book of Jeremiah, we read in chapter 33, verse 3, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time while he was still locked up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it to establish, call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Call to me, I will answer, and I will show you great and mighty things." Beloved, there are a lot of things we do not know what's next, but God knows. It is our duty, it's God's desire that we call upon God, that he will show us to us. Maybe doors were closed, doors were closed and calls may not answered when we turn. But when we reach out to God, God is there. Call him as he promised, he will answer. God is there to answer. Are we here to call upon God? We are a group of people we are needy people. Every one of us, I am sure, something in that bothering us, in us, that we need help, that beyond our control, God is there. Are we reaching out to him? He is there to listen to this evening. In Matthew 7, the familiar portion, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. Everyone who knocks, seeks, find. And everyone who knocks, open. Ask, seek, knock. He has promised to us to do that. In John 15, the parable of the vine, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, and you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, and you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciple. Abide in me, my words abide in you. And through that, the Father is glorified, then we bear much fruit, right? Then we are his disciples. God used this imagery of agricultural life at that time. Probably many are farmers and shepherds, they know about it. And I'm thinking today, if the God comes and asks, he may not talk about that much about abiding the tree and vine and stuff, right? Probably how many of us are that much, probably in this generation, I'm just thinking that probably God will probably reference and say, if you are part of this cloud, maybe FWS cloud, you are. If you are outside the cloud, you are probably in a different firewall or something. You don't have no relation. But we abide in him. What abide means? Abide means stay where you are. As Christians, we are placed in Christ. That's where we should abide. That's our position. As a tree stays, the branch stays in the vine, even on a big tree. We don't see that today, a branch from an oak tree and moving to a different tree tomorrow, right? No, I never seen that. A branch stays with the tree, and it was, that's where it's placed, and that's where it draw life and nourishment, and where that's where it's attached, that's where it's belonged. We are Christians as we were. We are placed in Christ. That's where we are belongs to. Prayer is also an opportunity to worship God, to honor God, to acknowledge God, his goodness towards us. And Psalm 100, very familiar portion we often read, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Know that the Lord, he is good. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates and thanksgiving, and into his courts and praise. Be thankful to him. Prayer is the time to be thankful to him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. His mercy is everlasting. He is good, he endures, his truth endures all generation. Our Lord there to meet specific needs of ours. Like I mentioned earlier, we are a people of need, different needs. But our God is there to meet everyone's need. As we read in James 5, is anyone among you, in James chapter 5 verse 13, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing Psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man with nature like ours. He had prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain for the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and earth produced its fruit. What a beautiful testimony is that through the grace of God, we have access to God by the faith in the person of Jesus Christ and the work that Jesus Christ has done. We have access to God in prayer. That's why we are here. This after work, we rushed and came here. We have a time to pray, to communicate to God, because we have an access to God. Otherwise, it's worthless to come over here. We have access to Him. We have a God who listens. We have a God who expects us to call upon Him, and He will answer. The writer of the book of Hebrews reminds us over and over again that our access to God in prayer, in chapter 8, verse 1, we have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected, not of man. We have a God. We have a high priest. We have a representative. He is our advocate. He is there to listen. In the same book, chapter 9, verse 11, but Christ came as high priest of good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacles, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats or calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place for all, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He gave himself for us. He gave the last drop of blood for us, and then he is there for us. The access we have, it's beyond what we can talk about. Marvelous. And it's again the same book of Hebrews, chapter 9:15. He is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Those who are called, we are called by God. There is nothing that we have done. He called us. He invited us to the banquet to receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Even though we are on the earth, we have that promise, that eternal inheritance we have. Again, in the same chapter of book of Hebrews 9:24, for Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into the heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. He is there for us. And again, chapter 10, verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. And verse 14, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who being sanctified. We are sanctified in him. Even though our sins were separated us from God, but through Christ we have access to God. He is there for us. There are different examples of prayers we read in the scripture. We often look at the prayer that our Lord himself taught the disciples, we often call Lord's Prayer in the Gospel. But I just want in closing to look at a different prayer. If you would turn with me to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. There's a Colossians model of prayer we see there. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 read like this. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Devoted in prayer. We should pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul reminds them, pray without ceasing. Paul says also in Romans, we should present our bodies to God a living sacrifice. It's a spiritual posture in which we orient every aspect of our life toward God. Let me read it again. A spiritual posture in which we orient every aspect of our life to God. Every aspect of our life is open to God. There is nothing you and I can hide. God knows everything. That's why the Paul reminds them that we should present our bodies to God a living sacrifice. We often call it an act of worship to God. The second, in that passage we read, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful with thanksgiving. Be watchful in prayer. We know a watchman. Watchman, be awake, has to be vigilant, and be on the alert. Right? If you see a watchman, a security guard sitting there and sleeping, he's not doing what he's supposed to do. Right? A watchman should be awake, has to be vigilant, and to be on alert. When you are watchful and vigilant, then you are actually interested in knowing what God expects of you and me. Again, when we are watchful and vigilant, then we are actually interested in knowing what God expects of you. If the teacher teaches in the class and students sit there and sleep, that student is not interested in what the teacher teaches, right? But we are watchful, vigilant. We are interested in knowing God. And we identify that will identify the person, that how much that person is interested in it. When you and I are interested in knowing a person, we will know and identify that person even in crowd, right? I often remember seeing when you go to the airport, and especially in the international terminal, people probably waiting for their loved ones coming back from maybe a month or week after a while, and looking for that person to come through the hallway. And you can see like a huge 747 or 777 come, like 300, 400 people coming out. You see through that hallway. In that, you see the people, oh, here they are, that person coming there. Because that can identify the person, even in the crowd. Because they know the person who they are, even in the crowd. Same way, we know God, by knowing him, by how close we are with God. Be watchful as the Lord wants to fulfill his plan in your life. Because we are called by a holy calling. The spiritual forces of darkness seeks to derail us, to destroy us. That's why Paul reminds the saints to be sober-minded. Be watchful. Devil is like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Be diligent. Be thankful in prayer. The Lord is at hand. Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 5 to 7. Do not be anxious about anything. It's hard not to be anxious, right? But in everything, prayer and supplications with thanksgiving. Yesterday, me and my wife watched a documentary on the Burma Freedom Burma Ranger. This couple, the son of a missionary, he came back to the U.S. He trained to be, you probably have seen it, trained to be, he joined the army and he came out of it. God has called him to go into front line and rescue people. in Burma, in Iraq. And we see he prayed to God and go. And God protected him. He and his wife and three kids, and even the little one they had, it was amazing to see that how in the world they go into that place and raise their children in. But every time they prayed and went forth, they accomplished. God used them. Be thankful in prayer. And finally, I want to conclude with this. Prayer specifically. We all have something specific we want to answer from God. Be specific to God. As we read in Mark 10, we know this portion. We see the Lord's encounter with Bartimaeus on the way to Jerusalem. When the beggar heard that the Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He was crying out. You know what God said? Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" God knew what he wants, but God wants him to be specific. He said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." That's what he wanted. He was specific to what he wants of him. And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. So two things. His faith, God said, "Your faith has recovered. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and he followed him. He followed the Lord. So our prayer should be specific in our own needs as well as others' needs of our fellow brothers and sisters. What a beautiful prayer.